everyone out there, and welcome to High Mystery,
the podcast.
Yeah, we're going to smoke some weed. We're going to talk about a mystery.
Maybe yes. Smoke more weed.
Definitely smoke more weed.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I brought a nice blunt here. It's got, I believe, not entirely sure, but I did roll it like an hour ago, so I should know. But it has, I want to say, Wet Dream and King Louis in it. Yes. A nice little mix.
Yes.
And, of course, I'm health conscious, so I like to go the no tobacco route when I can. Not that I don't, you know, I'll still smoke the other stuff, but when I can, I'll definitely do non-tobacco, no nicotine. This one's from Royal Blunts. They have herbal wraps. This is a double XL, and it's a two-pack, and it says you can roll up to four. I have proven that theory and rolled up to four, so they mean what they say, and they say what they mean.
Double XL for when 1XL just won't do.
Yeah, we're size queens over here.
Yeah, you know, speaking as a double XL man, I'm glad to have things that are double XL positive.
Right?
Yeah.
This one is a mango tango flavored.
Mango tango. Just a little background on the tango. It's a dance that was invented by prostitutes in order to get their johns as excited as possible so that when they actually did go back to the room, things would be over much quicker so that they could get back out and get a second john faster.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And mangoes were created by God.
All right, said the atheist. Yeah.
It's 100% true. I'm an atheist. That's why I can make jokes about God.
I just say I have a private faith.
Okay.
Ooh, yeah,
mysterious.
Because yeah, it gives a little mystery in my life. You know? Yeah, absolutely. And also, like, maybe you don't need to know what my religion is.
I always just say spiritual.
Spiritual, yeah. That's what I've got on my, you know, Tinder profiles and whatnot. No, I think they asked that on Bumble. And
you've been naked in the woods, is what you're saying?
Rubbing up against trees.
Okay, good.
In the moss.
Good and dirty.
He's pro-tree. Yes.
You know, I don't even know if we said, I'm Colin.
I'm Tristan.
And I'm Robert.
We did not.
Helping us with our audio is Chris.
Hello again.
I just got so excited about smoking the weed.
And trees.
Yeah, and all of a sudden we were talking about religions, but that's a whole nother podcast.
Not this one.
Not this one.
I mean, today it could be.
Yeah, I mean,
have you heard the good word?
If I mean,
there are unproven mysteries.
Have you heard the good news? Today we're doing the mystery of the Invisible Boy.
Ooh, already I'm thinking of like Kevin Bacon in Hollow Man.
Oh God, there's so many movies where somebody can turn invisible and you choose that one.
I, you know,
it's the rapiest of all.
Yeah,
exactly. He's using it for how I would use it. And I can I just enjoy Kevin Bacon because for a long time I really hated him. Because his movies, he's the bad guy a lot of times. And then I realize that he's just a good actor, and he makes me hate him. And then I, as an actor now, I respect the craft of his ability to make me be like, man, you are just a shit.
You know, I still remember Tremors. The original Tremors is great. I love it.
And when I think Kevin Bacon, I think Footloose. And he was definitely not the bad guy in that one. He could dance his ass off.
John Lithgow
was.
I guess what sticks with me is that he was like a camp counselor at one of them, and he like was a total dick and like left a kid on the side of a mountain at one point in the movie, and I think he ends up like getting hurt, and then the kids like don't help him. Like,
that sounds like the movie with the bad guy from Home Alone when he helps the camping troop climb a mountain.
I've seen that one too.
Yeah,
that one's more of a comic.
What's that called?
I don't know. Oh no.
Comment and let us know if you know that movie.
I'll think of it halfway through the mystery, and I will derail everything that's going on by shouting it out.
So no, this is The Invisible Boy, The Vanishing of Garnell Monroe Moore. It's more of a figurative invisibility.
Like people just stop paying attention to him?
Sort of. So in Baltimore, Maryland, in August of 2002, 7-year-old Garnell was last seen playing outside of his Aunt Belinda's house. He's seen by his great aunt, Trina Morton, who is caring for his siblings, so she kind of cares about Garnell as well. And she reports seeing him playing in front of the house. At the time, she's 9 months pregnant. This is the last time anyone other than Belinda Cash, his surrogate mother, sort of, sees him alive.
Okay.
And he's nine, you said?
He's seven years old.
Sorry.
But she's 9 months pregnant.
That's
really nice. And that becomes important because great aunt Trina asks Belinda if she can have Garnell come visit, you know, so he can see his brothers and sisters and see her as well. But she ends up going into labor, and so that makes the visit not happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then when she says, like, let's rearrange the visit with Belinda Cash, his surrogate mom, she says, it's not a good time right now. I'm moving house.
How convenient.
Yeah. So the visit doesn't happen. So Garnell has never been seen or heard from since that time where he was playing in front of the house.
Huh.
The parents never raised him. His mom was incarcerated from the time he was a young kid. She was in jail for drug offenses. And his dad lived a transient lifestyle, so he's basically a homeless man. And so for the first few years of his life, he lives with relatives. And then at the age of six, he moves in with Belinda Cash, his aunt. There's nothing formal about the arrangement. She doesn't become his guardian, or she doesn't seek to become his guardian in any way whatsoever.
Man. Poor kid.
Yeah. For sure. And Belinda has no other children in the house or anything. She's not a mom herself. So she's just, like, taking Garnell in for who knows.
Yeah, it's kind of like just a friend to have over. You're going to look after yourself because I got my own thing going, you know.
And this is sort of
a roof over your head, I guess.
Yeah, you know, yeah. You could stay on the couch, you know, but you got to fend for yourself because I'm not taking care of you.
I mean, that's
yeah.
brutal at six.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, but...
And who's to say what kind of mom she was while he was in the house with her, or aunt, whatever, you know, guardian.
Definitely a latchkey kid, though. I mean,
well, we don't know anything about latchkey kids.
I was one. Trust me, I was a latchkey kid.
Sure. I was not.
I
parents loved me.
I knew public transportation pretty early on, and I was going places.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Parents worked, so I was also...
Yeah.
My transport was just a bike.
No, I took the TriMet bus when I was in Portland, and I would just go to the mall and, you know, see Tanya Harding skate or whatever.
Oh.
I lived a fast, loose life. It was the early 90s. Clinton administration.
Okay, so back to Garnell.
Yes.
Garnell is never enrolled in school. He never comes into contact with any kind of social services. He has no medical records. He has no dental records. And there's only one picture of him at the age of four.
I see where this invisible...
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. What, you said, what year was this again?
So the last time he's seen in Baltimore by his Aunt Trina is in August 2002.
Wow.
At the age of seven.
You
so
would
essentially,
think they would have better record keeping...
It's definitely that. I mean, and like 2002, you know, smartphones and stuff are coming out. Like,
sure, there are definitely phones out that have the ability to take a picture and things like that.
Yeah.
It's not that common yet, though.
Well, you know, this is definitely post Patriot Act, where we're putting cameras fucking everywhere and just surveilling the streets. So this is like in the heyday of that.
Yeah. Absolutely. So there's like, you know, there's a lot of like, this kid shouldn't just up and disappear. Like, he shouldn't. Especially considering the world we live in at the time. So Belinda moves. She forwards the family an address. The address turns out to be false. And so they lose contact with her. She's just gone.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty easy thing to do.
Yeah. It's pretty weird, too. You know, she forwards the wrong address to her family.
I'm just saying, like, the family can't get off their butt to go to her? Like, Well, it's always her. She's got to come to them. Oh, sorry, it's canceled. Canceled. Just go to her.
I can understand when, like, this person's moving. They're not like a stable person.
Like the first couple times. Like,
well, the first time she goes into labor, so right. Garnell doesn't come to visit, and then she's like, "Send Garnell over. I want to visit with him." And she says, "I can't right now. I'm moving house." Right. Sends an address. That's not the address where she lives. Right. So it's not for their lack of trying by any means.
Okay.
They just assume Garnell's being well taken care of and everything, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I would assume, you know, but it is a shame that they don't want to see them or hear from them often as...
I don't know how many kids great Aunt Trina has, but she's just had a new baby.
Right.
She's taking care of his brothers and sisters. This woman has a lot going on, you know, and his dad's a homeless person, a transient.
Yes.
He says the last time he saw him was at an Easter dinner, the dad does, but he has no idea whether it was 2002 or 2003.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I would definitely try and at least keep the holidays. Like, you know, they're not calling this kid on his birthday. They're not calling him on Easter.
I mean, sure, I agree with you to an extent, but these aren't the kind of people who have stability in their lives.
Sure. It's just, you know, 1-800-COLLECT. it was definitely a thing. That's a time when payphones were still out there.
Well, anyway, so she sends this false address, and then eventually, so they don't realize that Garnell is missing until June of 2005, when... purely by chance, they bump into Belinda somewhere in June of 2005. They bump into her, and they ask where Garnell is, and she says he's on a school trip in Virginia.
They bump into each other?
Yeah.
They're like, what, living just a mile or two away from each other?
All of it's in Baltimore, so like they all live in the city of Baltimore, which is a big enough city to disappear in, but like by happenstance, they find her somehow. And
I mean, did they say that she seemed unusual or?
I have no idea. Nobody,
you know, like,
nobody,
oh, she's acting kind of suspicious. Or
I think she's acting suspicious because she says in June that he's on a school trip in Virginia. We know, A, he has never been registered for any school anywhere. And we know, B, it's June and schools are out.
Right.
So it doesn't make any sense.
Summer camp.
Yeah.
School, but the fact that he hasn't been registered is like the big.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's when they start getting suspicious, and that's when they finally contact the authorities. And it's through all this searching on Aunt Trina's part. She actually searches through and like calls social services. They have no record of him. She calls the schools. They have no record, can't disclose information because she's not his mom, etc. Basically, she calls around and realizes that this kid has not had any of society's benefits and that she finally needs to call the police. And so that's when they get the authorities involved to bring Belinda in for questioning.
So this is 2005, you said? I mean, because that's when the last anyone's ever seen him was 2002.
Yeah, this is in 2005 when the authorities... cough break. This is in 2000... Oh, take a second. We're good. Just take a second. Let's recombobulate.
If there was any ever doubt that they are indeed strange, let it be squashed.
That's right.
Okay. So... 2005.
Yep.
Cops get involved.
Uh-huh.
They interview Belinda.
They better.
She finally says that she no longer wanted to care for Garnell, so she left him on the steps of social services.
She can't even like make sure that somebody from inside the building is there and taking care of him.
No, she says
she literally left him on the stoop.
That's her claim, is that she left him on the stoop of social services. Now,
what
she gives them...
she claim?
She doesn't say exactly
I mean,
when.
The age... we know that he was at least 4 because they've seen... that was the last anyone's seen him.
Well, no, they saw him at age 7.
Oh, at age
2002.
Okay.
Yeah. The only picture of him comes from age 4.
Okay, so he's 7. He can at least make his way around.
Yeah, he can independently walk around. And yeah. He can probably ask for help or ask for directions.
Yeah, he can,
et cetera.
If it's within, like, driving, like, if it's, like, in a mile or two of his house, he might be able to recognize, like, landmarks and stuff.
Perhaps.
Probably.
So she claims that she just drops him off on the stoop. She provides police with a dress. It's fake again.
This lady.
Yeah, so multiple times she provides a fake address. Now, police do a search of Belinda's house at the time. They do a search of her current neighborhood. They also go back to the house, the 2002 house. Search that one, too. They don't turn up anything. They do a second search with cadaver dogs, just in case. Still doesn't turn up anything. No significant traces of Garnell or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't think that that like she's mentally stable enough to even care for a child if she's habitual liar and. Like,
the thing is, she submitted to a lie detector test and passed.
Well, lie detector tests are fucking...
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, like, absolutely.
That's bullshit.
She has no significant history of child abuse. She doesn't have a significant criminal background. So...
It seems like she, legit dropped this kid off. But probably not at a safe spot or something. Maybe ditched him in the middle of the woods or something like that.
Well, that's where the theories come in. Like, what do you believe about it? It's hard to say.
She can't even give a correct address or anything for...
Twice she's given a false address.
Yeah, so it just leads me to believe that we're going to Disneyland
and just drove 5 miles
out and then left him at fucking the middle of the woods or something.
I mean, as an American child, I have to say, if you're going to leave me somewhere, leave me at Disney. It's the happiest place on earth for the rest of the day.
I mean, did you not tune into that other episode we were talking about where all the crazy shit goes down at Disneyland?
For sure.
Well, yeah, I would not... go on the Small World ride, even if I lived at Disney World.
Who lives at Disney World, Rob?
That's what I'm saying.
Walt Disney.
If I were dropped off at Disney World, then that would be like where I'm now living. If I'm a 7-year-old boy, even if I lived there, I wouldn't be. Yeah, I wouldn't be hanging out at the Small World ride.
You think they let 7-year-olds live at Disney World?
You just hide. It'd be like
they'll
just put you to work.
It's like Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. You know where they hide in the display, wait for clothes, and then they got. Free reign of the toy store.
Yeah.
Don't act like I'm the only one that saw Home Alone 2.
Oh, no, absolutely not. I remember.
Oh, and it also has the guy from...
I remember the pigeon lady.
From the movie that we couldn't think of.
Yeah, you still can't think of it. Good stuff.
Out on a Limb? Was that it? No, that's not it.
I don't think so.
No. Bushwhacked!
Bushwhacked.
Oh!
Settle down.
Sorry. I told you I was going to derail you
Bushwhacked.
With the name of that movie.
I enjoy that movie.
Yeah, it's a...
Probably not a great movie.
It's not a Criterion classic.
But yeah, there's a lot of theories about what happened to Garnell.
Could still have him like stored away somewhere.
Sure.
Stored away.
I mean,
well, there's no.
There was a thorough police investigation.
Cadaver dogs did not sniff anything.
And,
well, yeah, that's because he's not dead.
Oh, so stashed him away as like a
in an
sex
attic
or slave
something.
Or something.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. That's one possible thing. She could have sold him into some type of child slavery, whether it's sex work or child slavery,
or
whatever, you know.
House
who knows?
I don't think she's crazy to the point where she'll kill somebody. But I think she's crazy to the point where she's like, I don't want to fucking deal with this kid. Let me drop him off at some like at a school somewhere, let him fend for himself or something. He don't know where I live.
I just don't get like what the motivation is for her to lie then, though. Like, just if people want to take care of him, just tell him where the fuck he is so they can go take care of him. Like, why are you being such a bee about it?
Well, yeah, and at this point, you know, he was 7 in 2002, so it's 2018. Add 16 years onto that. He's 23 years old, so I don't understand.
Darnell, if you're out there, yeah, man, like, let's
if you're okay, please, call your mom. In the mystery, we would love, you know, hook up with your brothers and sisters.
Yeah, he might be we'll in a cult. Keep
your crazy aunt away from you.
A lot of people theorize that he simply walked away from the social services building and then somebody took care of him from there.
That's... At dinner, then try to register him again. And
apparently, there's a long-standing thing with the people of Baltimore being extra distrusting of like government and police, etc.
Yeah,
I mean, I get so, that, but like
maybe there's somebody
a citizen of the state. Right?
I mean, I guess technically he already would be, but also like who knows what he's doing, whether he needs that or not.
That's true.
You know,
I just could. I mean, well. He would have had to have been picked up real fucking fast because you see a 7-year-old walking the streets. Somebody's eventually going to be like, do you know where your parents are? And when I mean, he says no, then yeah, he goes like, oh, into the system. Now. He's an orphan.
That's also another unfortunate theory is that, of course, somebody picked up a kid, you know, and you know, some criminal or nefarious person.
That sounds like Mickey.
Sounds like what?
That sounds like Mickey.
Oh, just hanging outside Disneyland waiting for kids to be dropped off.
The mouse.
Ho ho! Come here, children. Show you what's in my gloves.
But there is an investigator on the case who feels really strongly. They said they just base it on their gut, basically, that this has some kind of happy ending.
That's nice. I'll take
that's
that.
All we have to go on, really.
That, and the happy ending is that some nice person found him and was taking good care of him, and he had a good, is still having a good life.
Yeah.
Did he assume maybe going just to school, some maybe not identity going to school. Or something?
Maybe. I mean,
like, how does one fake their own a different identity? Like, I call me like George now. And
being 7. He definitely is moldable at that point, maybe enough to forget that. But also, I feel like when your aunt leaves you at social services, there's a chance that you repress all of that. There's a chance that you repress everything before that point because people do repress traumatic events.
Definitely. But usually, I guess I just live in a bubble where I feel like people would, like, you know, take him to a hospital to make sure he's healthy. Like, you know, there's things that you have to do where, like, you need verification of, like, identification. Yeah.
Sure.
He never got a driver's license. He never registered in a school.
I mean, there
never applied for a job.
There are undocumented people all over the country right now doing exactly that, working in the dish pits of restaurants.
But they know why.
Sure.
This kid's like, why can't I? Why do you keep
telling him?
Telling me not to get a driver's license, Mom.
Who's to say?
I need to be independent at some point, Mom.
Your mom is a little secret.
Shh. He could have just been abducted by aliens, too, you know?
I mean, is that a leading theory?
That's always a theory.
Is that the leading theory?
Or, yeah, he's hanging out with Bigfoot now. Parting it up.
He's living with Tupac in Cuba.
Yeah.
Releasing Machiavelli and albums.
Exactly. I mean, maybe Keefy D took him in.
Always Keefy D.
It all leads back. All roads lead to Keefy D. I don't know, but that's the story of Garnell Moore Monroe. If you have any info on his disappearance, you can call the Baltimore Police Department at 443-984-5678 or the Center for Missing and Exploited Children at 1-800-THE-LOST.
I thought you were going to say, like, contact us, but yeah, that's way more pertinent information.
Yeah, don't water down your info with us. We're stoned a lot of the time when we record this stuff.
Yeah, if somebody calls me and says, I've got information on Darnell...
I mean, I'm at least listening.
Yeah, I'll hear what they have to say. Normally, I hang up real
fast. Hopefully, we'll record it and put it on the show.
I did just find his Facebook.
What? Is he a cute kid?
I've seen better.
Oh. So we can throw out the abducted theory.
Honestly, you can find his picture. He is a really cute little kid. And then they did age progression technology
like what he
to see
should.
What he would look like today.
At 22, 23?
Yep.
My God.
If like he didn't get any like horrific accidents or something.
Exactly.
His face has been horrifically altered.
Oh God. Let's hope there's nothing like that.
I mean, I'm pretty sure he's in a gang. It just what? Seems
that's possible.
I feel like if you're a kid on the street, you're eventually going to fall into a gang. I mean, these are the streets of Baltimore. It is. I mean,
no, Baltimore was rough and tumble or not.
Yeah,
so this
the show The Wire.
You can't see it, but they're
takes
both
place in Baltimore.
They're both nodding emphatically that Baltimore is rough, and I had no idea. So
yeah,
I mean, I don't know personally.
Okay,
yeah. So I wasn't doing it.
The Wire really is all about gang life in Baltimore, Maryland. And they have kids working through the Baltimore gangs as you know, just like a person, like a lookout or something like that.
Sure.
And they earn their keep. And it's the best job for them.
Yeah,
as a kid.
Definitely possible.
They got a family and everything. And you got fingerprints.
There are lots of possibilities. Let us know what you think with your comments on our Facebook page. And
We've got a website, highmystery.com. We got a Facebook page, I think. I don't know. It's kind of weird. I'm trying to figure that one out. But
we've got a Facebook page.
Yeah. Facebook.com/highmysterypodcast, I believe.
We'll see.
Maybe.
You'll see. Look it up. It's another mystery.
Yeah. They say it's available, and then I try and put it on there, and they're like, no. And I'm like, why? That's what's going on.
Tom hates you.
Tom from MySpace.
Wait, no, wait. Tom's your first friend on Facebook.
On
right?
MySpace, Tom's,
really?
Yeah, the founder of Facebook is Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, that's
Tom
true.
Tom is the first friend
that's
on
true.
MySpace.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
With that shitty whiteboard behind
My bad.
Him.
The kid grew up to be Tom.
All I know is Facebook has clearly overshadowed MySpace so much that I didn't even think about Tom being from MySpace.
Well, we still think of Tom, but yeah, no, Facebook is kind of the enemy right now.
Did Mark do that too? Did he make you friend request him?
No, I didn't. I've seen a lot of people be friends with Mark Zuckerberg, and I'm like, why?
Yeah. I also want to know if Tom was a real dude or if that's like just some picture they pulled.
Yeah.
They like one of their texts, and they just put a false name on it, and that was just like because it was clearly a bot, right? And so anyway, that's
a whole nother episode. Dick pics from Tom. I don't know.
I sent Tom dick pics. I mean, he requested them, and we were friends. How was I to know?
Right? He was like, "Make sure you include your face, Rob."
Tom's got dirt on me.
Sounds like you guys are friends with a different Tom than I was friends with. All right, we want to thank you so much for tuning in. This has been High Mystery. I'm Colin.
I'm Tristan.
And I'm Robert.
Bye-bye.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Peace, bitches.